So I was saying just before we worship that we were going to get into groups to share how we're getting on with forgiveness and the journey of forgiveness that we've been going on over these last few months. And Silas rightly pointed out, if you haven't been here for any of those, then you might want to just listen in, or you may have things you want to contribute. There's absolutely no pressure. So why don't we get into convenient little groups where we are? I know it's a bit awkward, this bit, isn't it, when we actually make you do something. Really sorry. My mum always says that. She says, I'll come, but don't make me do anything.
Maybe the thing to do, everyone close their eyes and get into groups.
So really what we're wanting to talk about is if you put your put something in the little I want to call them poo bags, but because it is a poo bag, but it was the sort of bin liner on the cross. If you wrote something and put it in there, it may be that you've got something to share with a few others about how you're getting on with whatever that situation is. If not, have you forgiven people in this last month or so? Are there things that you can share about forgiveness? One thing I just want to put a little parameter around this discussion. We're not here to sort of air other people's sin against us. That's not the purpose of this group. What we're really wanting to do is to talk about what our journey is like with forgiveness. You know, what's going on for us. Okay, so if you can perhaps not mention names and just be sort of brief about the sort of sin against you. There are other settings where you can do that very thoroughly, but right here now, let's just honour the people that we're talking about if we are, but talk about ourselves. Okay, so with that parameter, get into little groups, and you've got about 5 minutes just to share some things. How you're getting on with forgiveness? Maybe there's nothing to forgive. Share that. That's totally cool.
Okay. Just wonder if there's one person, maybe you could volunteer someone in your group to just say, let's have just one story of somewhere where they've seen real change or something in this area, in the area we've just been talking about. And by the way, if you say something, please think through what you're saying, 'cause as in what Annie said at the beginning, so say something like, well, there was this person, blah, 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 rather than names, etc. Is there one? We'll just have one story, one person, we'll say, that was brilliant, we need to have this one shared. Okay. We've got about 2 minutes, so we don't need to have the whole history of, I'm not saying you would do it, but I just want to say, okay?
Countdown. Hi, everyone. So I was just sharing with our group about how Jesus has helped me with unforgiveness. A few things have happened, you know what it's like, and you just feel really justified, like, yeah, but this is an injustice, and this happened to me, and I do feel angry, I do feel bitter, blah, blah, blah. And we feel as Christians sometimes, oh, but I can't feel like this, so I need to give it all to Jesus now. But you don't really deal with those feelings properly. You just kind of, okay, I've got to give it him because that's what I have to do. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus just said to me, Bex, like, do you want to just give me this for a little bit? Like, I'll just carry it, but you can have it back again. Why don't you just give it me and I'll just like lighten the load a bit. So I gave it to Jesus and it started to look like shopping bags. And in the shopping bags were all these like, I don't know, like a bottle of milk, but the milk was full of resentment and it was like poison, and like a bag of apples that contained bitterness. And he was like, do you want me to put these? It was like I'd been shopping, basically. And he was like, do you want me to put these in the fridge? Do you want this bottle of milk? Are you going to drink this? And I was like, I don't think I will drink this, actually, because I don't think it's going to be very good for me. And so in the natural, we don't buy things that are off, like out of date, do we? Because we know it's going to give us a tummy ache or something. So I was like, why am I doing this in the spiritual? So I just decided, like, no, Jesus, I think you need to take these things now, the bitterness, the resentment, and all the other things, unforgiveness. And then he gave me grace, he gave me mercy, he gave me forgiveness, and it was just an amazing exchange with him. So I think for me the key was doing it with him and bringing him into the pain as well and trading.
Thank you.
Pam just gave me this during the worship. It's a quote from Nelson Mandela, just follows perfectly from what you said. Harboring bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison in the hope that it will kill your enemy. Amazingly sort of tied up. Awesome. Great.
You got something to share? That was lovely. Brilliant. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, John, could you whack up those couple of slides? It's the Isaiah 9. Oh, it's here. So we're going to have a couple of scriptures here just around this. And this is kind of our theme that Annie and I kind of felt to sort of focus on this morning. So it's from Isaiah 9, verse 2. Isaiah is a book in the Bible. It's in the first part of the Bible. Isaiah was a prophet. And this is actually in Christmas readings and sort of carol services, this particular verse is often used. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That means many things, but one of the wonderful things of this is the light that Jesus brings and the teaching he brings to forgive actually brings us out. If we follow it through, it brings us out of darkness. Forgiveness is for us. It's for us. And when he shines his light, it's because he shines it into an area of our life where there's darkness so that we can have light, so that that area no longer holds us. And the next verse, which is 1 John 1, 5-7. 1 John, what that means is it's right at the end of the Bible. Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was called John. And this is what John wrote towards the end of his life about the man who, he was actually the closest friend to Jesus. And this is what he wrote. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Again, this is for us. If we're claiming to love God, but actually we're furious with someone else, then actually there's a hypocrisy there. Basically, we're not free because we're furious with someone else who he made, and we can't have fellowship with people. Actually, in worship, you can't really go for it in worship at the same time as being harboring an anger towards someone else. This is for our freedom. It's for our freedom. And this is the man, John, who lived with Jesus. He lived on earth with him. And he's writing this at the end of his life, and he's saying this was what he was really all about. He brought light into our lives, into the darkest parts of our life. This man Jesus, I lived with him. He brought light into my life. I became free. Forgiveness is a gift. And so where the Lord, where he shines his light in our lives, it's because he loves us and he wants us to be free from that area of darkness.
So how do we know if God is shining a light? Oh, he's shining a big light on me. There we go. How do we know if God is shining a light on a specific thing in our lives? You probably have got lots of ways that you all know about how God sort of pinpoints you. But these are a few of the things that have that we feel. Sometimes we've had a very similar conversation with different people through a week or 2 weeks, and it seems like it's the same theme always coming up. And I'm thinking, maybe God's shining a light on something. Maybe you read stuff, a particular article or something on the radio or something that, and it just stirs something. You think, I've just been thinking about that, or I was just talking to so-and-so about that. And so God sort of highlights us through the natural things around us, the conversations and the people around us. It may be that you come across somebody that reminds you of somebody, and suddenly you're sort of thrown back into an experience of the past where something happened, and just because of someone sort of visually looks like somebody, and it just stirs something up in you, that can be an example of God just shining a light on something that He wants to do. Maybe you have recurring dreams or thoughts, and an example is that recently for me, I've had, over the whole year in some ways, I've had this sort of recurring memory of something that I did that I feel really ashamed of. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but as it happens. but just an intense feeling of shame waves over me when I think about this situation. And it's brought up other similar things that I have done, and it sort of all connects in. And I think that what God is doing, I'm sort of in the middle of it. I'm not through it, but I feel like God is shining a light on this area in me where He's given me a different perspective on it. I can see that to start with, I thought it was all other people's fault. Classic. He's showing me what's my responsibility and where I've got to sort of step up and take responsibility for this. But what's drawing my attention to it is this intense feeling of shame that sort of comes over me when I think about it. That is, I'm sure, for me, God shining a light on something that He wants to set me free from. It may be that one particular type of person sort of triggers you. Middle-aged, controlling women.
Yeah, I just recognise in my life that it's a button that can get pushed in me, and I don't like it. Please, if you feel you come into that bracket, the issue is not yours. The issue is mine, and it's for me to deal with. It's not yours, okay? And I need to, and I've been working on this, and I'm getting better and better at it. So what happens is, if I feel someone's controlling me or saying something controlling me, something kicks off in me. But I have to take responsibility for that. It's not necessarily, they might have said something that's not good, not okay. But actually, I can't change them. I need to deal with what's going on in me. Okay? So, and God is shining His light on that. And He's been doing it increasingly. And actually, what's wonderful is I'm recognizing it quicker and quicker. So I'm able to get back into the place of peace.
Or it may be that if somebody constantly talks over you, you're trying to say something and there's always somebody sort of chips in over the top. And what can happen is that what you feel is way more than that actual situation requires. It's like the whole of history comes into that situation. So there's some ideas. You've probably got other things as well that you would add to that. Obviously, the Holy Spirit talks to us. He can speak to us and that actually just show us things. But those are some of the ways that we've experienced God shining a light on something in our lives. Now, there's two things I just want to say about God shining His light on us, which came to me whilst I was doing that, is that this sort of bringing things into the light idea is only one aspect of God shining His light on us. I think, if you think of the sun, shining its light on you. It's not all to expose stuff that's wrong, of course. There's warmth, there's love. I think it shows God sort of wanting to connect with us and be in relationship with us. He's identifying us. If you think of the spotlight, you know, if you are on a stage and you put a spotlight on the shepherd or the star or something, you know, this God's saying, I know you, I see you. You know, it's that identifying us. It can be a filling of the Holy Spirit, you know, when God shines on us. It can be him calling us into something, a particular area of our lives, and lots of other things too. So I'm not saying that God shining, you know, the light that walked in the darkness and all that is just about bringing things into the light. There's a whole range of stuff to do with God shining on us. And we pray, don't we? There's that blessing about him, the light of his countenance, blessing, I can't remember how it goes, but he's blessing us with the light of his countenance upon us. That's a really good thing. And the second thing I would say about it is that when God shines his light on us in this way that we're talking about, it is never, ever to expose us or to shame us or catch us out. That isn't God. So when I talked about that intense feeling of shame, that's not coming from God. That's coming from what I've done. You know, that's coming from the world, the flesh and the devil and all that. God, when he shines his light on us, he's always loving. He always wants to honor us, deliver us, heal us and restore us. That's his heart. So if you're feeling exposed by God shining his light on us, if your instinct is to hide away, then that's not the God that we're talking about here. God, the God that we know loves us and is for us and is always good. I'll just say those couple of things about it.
So what do we do when God shines his light on something in us? That's the, he shows in a sense what we've not, and he's just kind of done a general thing just to say we know that that passage is not just about exposure, etc. But what do we do if he does? And this is what we would encourage here, is walk it with others. So close people close to you, walk it with others. So you say, hey, I'm aware, I feel God's showing me this in my life. We deceive ourselves. So if we just keep it on our own, we can only see it from our own point of view. So two or three other people, maybe, and you share it. So if you're in an accountability group or something like that, walk it with them and say, can you help me? I'm aware that this is the stuff. So for me, it was, look, I'm aware that, you know, I get triggered by this particular type of person. Can you help me? When you observe that I'm reacting, manifesting, can you help me? Because I'm so used to doing, I won't even see it. So get into little groups, okay, in your life. So it's like having spiritual checkups with two or three other people. If you came from the sort of, if you're more familiar with a kind of 12-step sort of stuff and sponsors and things like that, it's like having someone who helps you to see what's going on, like holding a mirror, okay. Secondly, ask God what he's revealing. It may well involve forgiveness of others. So you ask God, you say, you know, what are you doing? That the lovely story Bex shared there was that she kind of went to Jesus about it, and then he started saying, well, look, it's like putting, you know, a mug full of sour milk back in the fridge, you know. But he started talking. So you go to God and you say, God, will you show us? You show me. Okay. It might be forgiving yourself. We forgive others, but for other people, it might be actually, I can't forgive myself. That's where shame comes in. And we have worksheets and things here just to kind of help people work through. If you know there's something you're very ashamed of and you can't get rid of it, then, you know, talk to someone else and say, look, can you walk with me with this? And then do something practical about it. Get a worksheet, start working it through, start praying it through. Okay. Or you might want to book in for prayer here. Every Tuesday mornings, we have a time. We have an hour and a half slot. Prayer and prayer at hopechapel.co.uk. And you might think, well, I work. Well, how important is your journey? It might be worth taking off 2 hours to deal with something. God always honors the sacrifice. So if you know you and you think, I've longed for prayer, have the courage to actually say, I'm going to take half a morning off for this because it's important. Ideally, we would have prayer times all over the place. But if we've only got what we've got, why don't you think of that? One thing we'd say don't ignore it and push it away. Because the older you get, the deeper the issue will become. That's basically the reality. Because if we're not getting healed, actually, we're bumping into more and more people and it's affecting us more and more and more. There's a scripture, which we're going to finish with this, and then we're going to have a little group time up here. Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. If we're talking about inner healing, if you've got faith as small as a mustard seed, that issue can, as you work on it, be moved. It appears like a mountain of shame or whatever it is. It appears so big. But Jesus says, as you start with a little mustard seed, start working on this with your mustard seed. What it means is spade by spade, that mountain gets moved. And once you've dug away quite a bit of it, you've got the encouragement because you're changing and people begin to see it. And then you have the courage to go into it more and more. Faith as small as a mustard seed will move the mountain. And if it's unforgiveness, it will move it. I have a life full of testimony, particularly the last 15 years, of how I've seen things that seemed like massive mountains move. And there's been wonderful reconciliation. I've been there, I've seen it, I've done it. It works, but it took many years. But faith, as small as a mustard seed, can start doing this.
And I think what the story Beck said as well is a really good picture to have, that always Jesus will exchange something for what we give him. So if we can give him these sour bottles of milk, poison, cups of poison, if we can give them to him, he'll give us back something that will taste like something we've have never tasted before, something wonderful, sweet and beautiful. And I think that's the whole point of all this. We're not just going digging for stuff for the fun of it. This is because Jesus died so that we could have joy and freedom and peace, and we don't have to be held down by these things that happen in our lives that rob us of joy and all the good things that he has for us.
So we have 4 minutes, so we're going to get back. This one, I'm going to suggest we do this. Get back into your little group that you had, and you're probably going to be in one of these three categories. John, nothing came up for me. That's fine. So in your group, can we make sure in your group one person doesn't talk for 4 minutes? Can you literally go around and say, nothing came up for me? That's fine. It might be that you say, can you pray for me that I'll be able to forgive X? And you literally just say, yeah, we'll stand with you. So if there were three people, if it was Laura and Layla and Ming here, and Layla said, I want to forgive someone, then you two would say, help Layla to forgive that person. Amen. And if Layla says, Lord, I want to forgive X, those words are heard in heaven. and that releases power and it from the Lord. Words count. So all you have to do is to, on this day, December the 4th, that could be the start of when the mountain began to move, simply because you said some words. And then the third category, I want to forgive someone now. Can you stand with me as I do this? There might be someone who's here. I am fed up with this load that I've been carrying around for the last 20 years. And I want to declare in front of you three people here, whoever your names are, doesn't really matter, that I forgive X. Just keep your voice down in case it's the person standing next to you. Okay? So, all right? We've got... We've only got 2 minutes because, okay, into your groups and do one of those three things.
So we'll end this time together. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for these conversations and prayer times now. We just speak blessing over them now. Thank you that words count. Thank you that you're hearing us in heaven now. And that this is powerful, powerful stuff. Thank you, Jesus. We give ourselves to you. Amen.